We're going to have a bit of a focus on the enormous struggle to rest and restore. It's a struggle to rest. And today I hope that we sort of, as we think about how we live our life and the need for rest, we're going to be thinking about this. I had two recent experiences in the last couple of weeks that I haven't had for a while. I went to jail for 2 days and to talk to prisoners about Jesus. It was great, and they let me out between the days. But it was a wonderful experience just to go back. I used to be a prison officer, so to go back into the jails and talk to people about Jesus was just a wonderful thing. I've never done that. I've gone into jails plenty of times, but never to talk about Jesus. The other thing I had to do is I had to give up my phone before we went into the jail. So I had 2 days without a phone. And that was really good. It was actually when I was a bit younger, first got a car, there was just no phones in the car, and there's no phones on you. I got a slight picture of these two phones, and one of the things you might notice about that, the old style phones, is this one's got an off button. I still really struggle to know exactly how to turn my phone off. I've got an iPhone. I know I keep pushing buttons and then this thing comes up and I slide. But the problem is we are constantly on. You know, there's a little vibration in my back pocket and I've got to go to it. I've been conditioned. We're always on. I saw these fridge magnets the other day. The fridge magnets are the things that remind you of things that are important. What have we got here? Busy, busy, busy. Get it done. You got this. You know, don't rest. Just keep going. Like, just keep going. There's no end to what you can do. The Bible even warns us about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7. Everyone's toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is never satisfied. You work, you work, you work, and you're just never going to be satisfied. You will continue to work until you die, never being satisfied. And it reminded me of the ancient words of the prophet, a modern-day pagan prophet. I don't know if you've heard of Mick Jagger, who said, "I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction." I won't sing it because I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no, I can't get no. He wrote these words when I was 1 year old, okay? He wrote that when I was one. So, Prophet Jagger, where is it that you can't get satisfaction? He says, when I'm driving in my car, when a man comes on the radio, he tells me more and more about some useless information supposed to fire my imagination. So have you got that? Mick Jagger, 1965, driving a car, and he's worried about useless information he's getting. How much useless information do we have today bombarding us at all times? So, Mick, any other examples? Well, he says, when I'm watching my TV and a man comes on and tells me how white my shirts can be, but he can't be a man because he doesn't smoke the same cigarettes as me. That's what Mick said. See the problem? Look, there's an ad for a white shirt, but the man's not smoking the same cigarette. He can't be this. I can't identify with that person because he's not smoking the right cigarettes. And we've got identity issues in our culture still today, haven't we? 60 years later, or not, nearly 60 years later, about what we wear. So, Mick, is there anything more that you're struggling with? Well, he says, hey, when I'm riding around the world and I'm doing this and I'm signing that and I'm trying to make some girl who tells me, baby, better come back maybe next week. Can't you see I'm on a losing streak? So his girlfriend's got a bit of a gambling problem and she's just she is just on this losing streak. She doesn't have time for Mick. So the rich and the famous struggle with it also. And so he goes, oh, I can't get no. Hey. That's what I say. I can't get no. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no. Now, there's a little earworm that's going to be bugging you for the rest of the week, okay? I can't get no satisfaction. But it left me wondering why he was echoing what the Bible says. There's not Mick Jagger, but in Micah chapter 6, verse 14, he says, you will eat, but you'll not be satisfied. And your vileness will not be in your midst, and you will try to remove from safekeeping, but you will not persevere anything. And what you do persevere in, I'll give to the sword. You're not going to get nothing. You're going to find yourself the satisfaction lost. Haggai, another prophet. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much, but you harvest little. You eat, but there is nothing to be satisfied. You drink, and there's not enough to get drunk. You put on your clothes, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. So have you got that? You feel like you may not have a purse with holes. You might have a bank account with holes. And he says, you're just sort of struggling. This is what life's about. Haggai is about 4,000 years ago. Mick Jagger is about 60 years ago. And it's still the same problem today. Last week, Josh reminded us, Josh Duncan, great guy, wasn't he? Loved Josh. He reminded us that our identity is in Christ, who gives us our identity. We don't have to do things. We trust what Jesus has done. We don't have to struggle for identity. We live in the identity that Jesus gives us. Because it's exhausting. I don't know how you young people do it. I don't know how you do it, like with all the images on the phone all the time, bombardment. And if that's not enough, everything's up for grabs, isn't it? You've got so many options out there. They say to you, you can do anything you want, but I know that scares you because there's so much to choose from. And if that's not enough, they even said, hey, you can work out your own identity. That's sort of like you choose what you want to be. You shape what you want to be. You can be anything you want. You can be any gender you want. And it must be just so exhausting, so tiring that what a huge relief for us from the horrible burden of needing to work out our own identity when Jesus gives us our identity. We can trust him. Is the struggle worth it? We work and we struggle for things that won't satisfy. We fight and there's no rest. You know, the more you sleep, don't you? You've experienced it. The more you sleep, the more you want to sleep, but you're still not rested. The more you eat, the more you want to eat, and you still aren't satisfied. The more you drink, the more you want to have. The more you have, the more you want to have. And it's just an endless supply. And the sad thing is, this is life if you don't work it out. But Jesus gives us an opportunity to step off that rat race. We don't actually have to live that way. You don't have to choose to live that way. We are people, followers of Jesus, are saying, no, there's more important things in life than that. We don't want that. Let me read these words from Isaiah. Yeah, this is about another 4,000-year-old poem. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. Eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. It is the faithful promise that can be ours, this relationship that makes life worth living. If you're a regular reader of the Bible, you might have echoed, you thought that Jesus said something like that in John 7:37. On the last day of the great day of the festival, Jesus stood up in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up until that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. The offer is actually that Jesus will fill the areas of your life that is needed. It was amazing. Just last week, I was with this group of prisoners, and we were talking about this very thing, and they spoke, because it was in a drug rehab area, and they spoke about how that's what we did. I wanted to have drugs fill that hole. That's what I was after. And now they are in jail. There's a guy I taught scripture in jail because the drugs were after, he was after drugs. His drugs ruined his life. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me tell you, I believe what Jesus says. So if your yoke, if your life, if there's no ease, if the burden's not lightened because of getting next to Jesus, then there's something wrong. And I think when I reflect upon the times when I feel the burden the most, when I feel the pain and the struggles of life, that's because, you know what? I'm carrying the things I should have given to Jesus. Or I'm carrying things that I shouldn't be carrying. When you look at this, in 2018, when you and I went to Sri Lanka and we saw this, there's a clip I want to show you. Look what's happening here. I've been corrected. They're not oxen, they're water buffalo. And you see what's happened? They're connected together. Now, the guy was telling us that the reason they do this is because the old guy here, he knows he's going to go out, he's going to eat and eat as much as he can, and he will come home at night. He will come home at night. But the young one, he'll just wander off. So what they do is they tie them together. And so this young one, as he gets older, he learns what you do is you go out, you eat as much as you can, anywhere you can, but at night time you come home. They yoke these two together. And the young one learns. To be like, I've got a little Maltese Shih Tzu dog, and every time I take it for a walk, it's like I'm strangling the dog because you know, it's on the lead, and it doesn't know how to walk properly. The Labradors do, but not this. So it's just so, and people think I'm strangling the dog, but actually I'm just walking along. It's going over there, it's going over there, it's running up there, it's up there, but the lead is only a certain length, okay? It's yoked to me, and this little Maltese Shih Tzu can do nothing to make me veer off my course. I love how Jesus says, listen to this, Jesus said he's gentle and humble. He's gentle and humble. This older one, this old is gentle. He just walks where he wants to walk. And the younger one, of course, can be pulling any which way he wants to, but it's not going to be swayed, this older one, because he can be gentle. Now just think about this, you know, like, if a little baby, a little two-year-old comes and it's a bad day, you've maybe taken the lolly off the baby and wants to come and attack you, you can be gentle, can't you? Because there's no way this little two-year-old is going to hurt you. It's going to come and might attack you, and so you're going to be gentle and humble. But have a 26-year-old prisoner at Park Lee want to come and attack you, I can't afford to be gentle, because the young person's stronger than me. Jesus can be gentle with us because he's so strong, and he can bring you with him. And if you yoke yourself, if you tie yourself to Jesus, and he only does it if you want that, he will teach you about life and how to live life. So when we come to rest is about waiting. Let me read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the darkest valleys, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Who's the shepherd? The Lord. Our God is the shepherd. What do you lack? Nothing, he says, because he's the shepherd. Do you believe that? Well, if you're like me, you don't, because I feel that sometimes I need to get other things. I'm never satisfied with things. But I'm told here, I lack nothing. He makes me, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. If I come up down there and you're standing up, I make you sit down. There's probably some force involved here. Why do I struggle against God so that he can give me rest in this green pasture? And remember, this is like, you know, the outback, you know, where it's dry and dusty and there's nothing to eat. This is where this is where Israel was, and it rained once or twice a year. But here we got this grass, and it's a place where there's water. It says, he guides me along the right path for his name's sake. You see, when you're yoked to Jesus, if he leads you in the wrong way, it's his reputation that's tarnished. It's his reputation. So here, the shepherd, the good shepherd, leads us along the right paths. But the scary thing for me is the very next verse where it says, in the darkest valleys. Why is it that we're being led the right path in the darkest valleys? Because you know what? Because sometimes life is hard. Life is a struggle. Because cancer happens. Because accidents happen. Because relationships break down. But the confidence that we have here is that if we walk with Jesus, if we yoke ourselves with Jesus, they actually will find rest. I love how he says, next verse 5 and 6, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Have you got the picture? Because you know what? You don't normally eat in front of your enemies. What you do is you're on guard all the time, but no problems here. The enemies are going to be there. There's going to be a feast here, and they're going to watch, because they've been conquered. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going in the next 4 weeks. We're going into the Restore, July Restore. If you're not sure what that is, it means we pare everything down to the very minimum. We give people a rest, the sound people a rest, everyone who serves in the church a rest. We talk about rest purposefully, seek passionately, and be inspired. We want to wait upon God. And we know how much we hate waiting, don't we? Even when the internet's not quick enough. I mean, who here has got internet that's as quick as they like it to be? No one. Because we always want it faster. But we're going to be waiting. Nicole's going to pass around just something that we want you to prepare for. During the month of July, we're going to encourage you to think into how you can wait upon God. It's an expression of our faith. And so there's some information there about restore, about how we want to encourage you to rest. But over the next 4 weeks, listen up, next 4 weeks, there's only going to be an AM service. And to let you know what's going to happen in the PM, Leanne's running forward towards the stage right now. Leanne Callaghan is running towards the stage right now. Is she in there? Sorry? Oh, she's there. Oh. You know what's going to happen, don't you? Yeah. Do you want to come up and just say, I tell you, that wife of yours, I teed her up for all this. What would you like? What's going to happen?
I just told him.
You're welcome, mate. You're welcome to come if you want.
It might be freezing, but we can put the hot spa on if anyone's game. And we'll have just dinner and stuff. And then the week after, I believe, could be Trudy and Warren's house. It's just really just to keep things going, keep meeting and connecting and have a lot of fun.
How will we be told about this and when the dates are? You actually wouldn't have the answer
to that. I don't have the answer to that one. All I know is it's happening.
Leanne. Leanne's going to have something in E! News this week. Thank you. It's time of waiting, but we want you to connect with God as well. It's a spiritual waiting. What we'd love you to do is, on the back here, it's in preparation, God willing, if the vote happens and we're going to be having Doc and Amity here. He's the one who developed this, by the way. With the next 2 weeks, would you start thinking about what you're grateful for in the last 6 months, last 12 months? What have you been grateful for? Being grateful is such an important part of our spiritual disciplines. Being grateful is such an important thing. So can you spend maybe and write things down you're grateful for? Doc and Amity have committed themselves that they will, if you want to... we're going to collect these later. Don't put your name on it. And they will read through the things you're grateful for. Would you also, in week 3 and 4, think about things that you're hopeful for? What are the things you're hoping for the future? Again, at the end of the 4 weeks, we're going to collect these if you want to bring them along. As part of expressing our dependence upon God, trying to find rest, but also restoration. We want to be restored. I love this Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 3 and 4. God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be built. Let me just say it again. Because you know what? Most of us don't truly believe this. We don't believe it enough. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up and you will be built up. So I'm going to pray. Father, I hear these words that you've loved us with an everlasting love. And you know my own heart, the struggle it is to hold on to that in difficult times. Lord, we think of the ways that we pursue all that which is not good, which is temporary, which will rust away, will break down, will be thrown away. But Lord, I want to pray that we'll continue to pursue you and that we would be pursuing you because of your everlasting love for us. We thank you for your unfailing kindness that you've shown. Lord, we want to be built again. We want to be rebuilt. We want to be restored. We want to find rest, purposeful rest. We want to seek you passionately. Lord, we want to be inspired. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a song come on up to conclude our time together. Thanks.